Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a handsome group. I might get all kind of awards, but it ain't going to be for being handsome. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And our subject this morning is the law and the gospel. So I'd ask you to hang on to 1 Timothy chapter 1 because this is the center of what we are covering this morning, though it may seem at times that we've abandon it. I do not intend that to be the case, so we'll just have to see how it goes. In this first chapter, we'd like to read the first 17 verses. Before we do, may we pray. Lord, thank you for letting us live to see this present hour. Thank you for this group of people that have gathered here this morning. But Lord, if all we hear is a man's voice, we might as well have been doing something else. But Lord, if you speak, if you speak to us in the language of your holy word in regard to your grace and to your mercy, which is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Whatever our state, we beg mercy upon us. Bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, and the hearing of your word. We beg these mercies for Christ's sake. Amen. Now I was kind of struggling with what to call this by way of a title. I have two, and I'm not sure which one will be the permanent one, the law and the gospel. And there's still another statement in this chapter that will challenge us if we use this title, the gospel use of the law. There's only one right use of the law, and that is the gospel use of the law. The law slays us, and Christ raises us from the dead. And that is the experience of every believer. I mean, now, while we're in this world, we are to understand these things and to pay close attention to them as we hear them read and spoken of. Now, beginning in 1 Timothy, we start on verse 1 of chapter 1. And I think I talked too much and forgot to lead in prayer after I said I would, but let's try it again. Lord, we call upon your name this day through the name of our precious Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus, who alone has merit at your throne. He simply asked, and it's done. How wonderful indeed. without one iota of selfishness. He prays for his people whom you've given him in old eternity. And he communicates to us that which converts the soul, raises us from spiritual death to spiritual life. What a glory indeed. Lord, as we turn to this portion of your word, we beg your blessing upon its reading and upon our hearing and understanding. If we are to understand these things, the triune God must be at work. Else we shall not understand it and probably not even hear it. We thank you for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, chapter 1 and verse 1, 1 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. If a doctrine is new, it ain't true. If it's true, it is eternal in both directions. Let us not forget that. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. When I was reading this week, I thought about a guy that runs a small business not far from here. And somebody told him I was a preacher. I sure didn't tell him. He said, "Where'd Cain get his wife?" I don't know, and I don't care. And this book doesn't mention it. We better be asking, where does Christ get his bride? That's the one we ought to be interested in. But this guy's too stupid and dumb, just like me. I was in that same boat that he was in, giving all kinds of crazy things that you run into in the scriptures and you decide to chase them for a while, and they don't do anything for you. Can't help you. What verse?
Four.
Huh?
Four.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister produce questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment. You might say the end of the law is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Hence the lawful use of the law. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And I would insert at this point that these are the persons that God saves in Christ. The lawless and disobedient. For the ungodly, here's a whole list now. These are favored people in the Bible. How come they're not favored in the local church? Because they're not sinners. That's how come. try to tell people that I remember one of the first statements I ever made in this auditorium that got me in some deep trouble, which I didn't mind getting into. You just got to see if somebody's hearing once in a while. But I caught a fella still awake that usually slept through the whole 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning. And I said, let me ask you a question. For whom did Christ die? He died for the ungodly, not the godly. How come not the godly? Because there ain't none. That's how come. If we're godly, it's God's gift to us in Christ. We sure didn't earn it on our own. We didn't work it up. No, it is the work of God's grace in the gospel of Christ. The law is not made, verse 9, for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Have we ever seen ourselves in that light? Then it adds, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Oh, preacher, I ain't never done any of that. Well, you don't know a thing about yourself then. Do you remember about well over 2,000 years ago, there was a fellow in Jerusalem that they hanged on a cross and he died. Now, what did he do that for? Just to make you richer and more fulfilled and thinking you're a good person? The only life we can have from God is that that comes through that man that died on that tree. And if I don't need, some people say, well, that's more than I need. That's because you're blind as a bat. That's all that is. If we don't see sinner when we look at ourselves, something's terribly wrong. Verse 10, continuing the list, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Boy, Paul was sure faithful, wasn't he, before he was converted? He was going around putting Christians in jail and putting as many of them as he could to death to get rid of the very mention of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, he counted me faithful. I was not faithful, but God says I'm faithful. And put him in the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then this famous statement in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul was no little sinner and he knew it. And just betwixt us chickens, there ain't nobody that's little when it comes to being a sinner. We're high rollers in that department. Of whom I am chief, the chief of sinners. Now mull that around in your mind and see if you can embrace it with both arms, both eyes, both ears. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, this is King Jesus, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stop right there now and see if we can make some headway into what else we have to look at this morning, I think, in trying to understand this subject of the lawful use of the law. One of the verses in this passage, verse 8, says, the law is good. And the passage goes on to show when it's used lawfully, the lawful use of the law. Now, I can't ask you to turn to all the places that I would like to this morning. I will include you in some if you will not report me for abuse, maybe be a good way to put it. How about turning to Luke chapter 16? Luke 16. Our Lord is having an encounter with the Pharisees in Luke 16, and beginning at verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided or ridiculed Him. I don't know how this could be possible that people don't like Christ, do you? You'd think in today's religion, I mean, if you want to go to a church, I bet there's a dozen in this area that's fully seated without any spaces. You know why? Because they're not hearing the true gospel. That's how come. They're not even hearing the true God being preached. But a long time ago, God came to this place, and it pleased Him to let me be here for a good many years to preach the gospel. Some of you kids never knew anything else but what's preached right here. I'm so glad, I think I am anyway, that you didn't have to go through the Tommy Rot we went through to get to this place. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided Him. And our Lord said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men, particularly religious people, is abomination in the sight of God. And I'm not talking about some holy roller place. I'm telling you, every Baptist church in this county, that's what they're telling their people. What God here condemns. It's poison. Absolute poison. Abomination. If religious people like it, it stinks. It's an abomination. The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, don't take every man too far. Let me identify who this every man is. He's every man who finds out that he's ungodly, that he's a sinner, that he hates God, that he doesn't love Christ. And if he can own up to those things, I think God will meet him. In fact, he doesn't know it yet, but he's already met with him to get us to approve of what we before thought was the worst thing on the face of the earth. The law, this is verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tiny little comma or an I, you know, a dot for an I, than one tittle, one tiny bit of the law to fail. That is a sobering statement indeed. Now would you, while you're here, if you'll just run over to John's Gospel for a moment. In John chapter 7, with the way that religious people throw the word and name Jesus around, you read the Bible and you find out that not many people love the Lord Jesus. Let me read it to you right here out of this book. Verse 16 of John 7. Jesus answered them and said, they've just charged him with not having studied in their school and got their degrees and their doctorates and all this kind of stuff. The Lord Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and there and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Now here's our subject. The law in John 7. I done lost it. 19. Thank you, sir. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you, not even one of you, keeps the law? Why do you go about to kill me? Of course, they deny the charge. They say, we're not trying to kill you. Well, they're waiting for the opportune moment. That's all they're waiting for. But guess what? They can't touch him without God's permission. Well, why did he go to the cross? Because he came into this world to go to the cross. If he doesn't go to Calvary, the whole human race is going to hell and nowhere else. But if Christ died, and he did, he died willingly and voluntarily, and whomever he died for, in all the generations that will ever be on the face of this earth, and nobody knows how many that is, it might be today or tomorrow, or it might be a million years from now, I don't know. That doesn't change a thing. Christ is everything in the economy of God. Oh, if we could truly learn that lesson. This law that is good if it is used lawfully is the very transcript of the mind of God. Paul qualifies the character of the law in regard to this poor sinner. It's good if a man use it lawfully, conscious of its infinite purity, of its demands of unsinning obedience, conscience having violated every aspect of God's holy law, we are enabled by grace to lay hold of Christ. And remember these famous words in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To whom? To everyone that believes. Therefore, believers are to be judged on that point. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, died on Calvary's tree in order to save His people from their sins. Christ is the absolute end of the law or the search for righteousness. Therefore, anybody who thinks they can keep at least part of the Ten Commandments, I'm sent by God to tell you that you can't keep one of them, let alone half of them. And if you can't keep them all, you have the same punishment if you just broke one. The truth is, I don't think anybody's ever existed that didn't break all of them myself. And if we could read our Bibles in the right fashion, begging help from above, we could probably understand better a lot of what's on the pages of this Bible. It's just, I don't know how to respond to the people in other churches, and in this one for that matter, that do not like what they have to hear in order to be saved. Just a short while back, I had a graveside funeral over here in the cemetery. So you got live people on this side and dead people on this side. And instead of just standing under the tent and talking to the immediate family, I chose to stand outside the tent and raise my decibels a little bit and tell some people what it means to die. What it means to die. If you're in Christ, it is a glorious homegoing. But if you're not in Him, it's too late. It's too late. So I spoke to the group pretty frankly and emphatically and didn't deliberately try to hurt anybody's feelings. But the minute I finished, some fellow walked up to me and he said, "Now, preacher, you know you hurt. You made some people mad here today, don't you?" I didn't have time to give him a full lesson, you know. If you don't make people mad with the gospel, they're not gonna hear you. So I said, "Well, that's not my problem. I'm a gospel preacher. And for me to preach something other than what I believe and is found in this book and backed up on virtually every page in our Bibles, I'm not apologizing. If you know I'm doing the funeral, just don't come. Honest. All right, back to our text. Let's see, I about forgot what that was. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read verses 9 through 11. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. There's a track around here somewhere about Tom Harding. A little small booklet anyway. And the name of it is Sound Doctrine. If you look far enough, you can find one. If you can't find it, I'll find it for you. And somebody may have to show me where it is. And after that statement, Sound Doctrine, verse 11 says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. To my trust. You guys that teach and preach, this is a sacred treasury. We must ever, ever seek the Lord's help and aid in preaching and teaching. It just simply has to be. Let's go back. Well, we weren't there yet. Let's go to Romans. Well, you look at there. Mine just opened right up. And there's that sound doctrine track I was talking about. Gosh. Now, I knew it was in here, but I didn't know I put it there. But that's wonderful. Romans chapter 7, just two verses. Verse 7, Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I would not have known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet. Now whose words are these? The Apostle Paul's. But sin taking occasion by the commandment worked or wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Now go home and get your dictionary and find out what that word means. If I had my other Bible, it's written in the margin, but I'm using my new one, so sorry about that. If you want a real definition, contact Tim James. He's pretty up to date on that one. For without the law, sin was dead. Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's what the law does. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. This law is designed to teach us sinners God's holiness and our total depravity. This sets forth the holiness of the God-man Christ Jesus, whom nobody except those that the Lord purposed to do so, nobody else would bow to that. Not a decent Pharisee in all of Palestine, except the one God conquered, and his name was Saul of Tarsus. So for whom then was the law made? It's not made for the righteous. We've seen that several times in this passage in 1 Timothy. I can't find the exact verse, so I'll just pass over that one. This sets forth the holiness of the God-man Christ Jesus. And we conclude now in this passage, for whom was the law made? The law is for sinners. Sinners. And only sinners. They are the same persons whom, given God decides to make it true in their soul, these are the people that it universally condemns. Every believer in this place, this has taken place in us. Oh, I imagine we've owned up to being a sinner, but I ain't talking about just a little teeny sinner. I'm talking about the chief of sinners. We're not only not good, we are terribly, terribly bad. The only possibility of safety from the law's condemnation is to be in Christ. Every man is condemned until God issues that call of sovereign grace and we come a running. We come running. Let me read that to you. In 1 Corinthians 6, you don't necessarily need to turn, but if you do, if you want to, I'll give you about 10 seconds maybe. 1 Corinthians 6:11. First Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's you a definite call of God by sovereign grace. Wonderful. Wonderful indeed. How about, I hope you didn't give up on Corinthians. I just about lost mine, but I retrieved it. I'm going to chapter 15 now in 1 Corinthians. chapter 15. Beginning at verse 56 and verse 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We often speak of Christ as our substitute, and indeed He is. He took our place on Calvary's tree. We deserve to be there. But He didn't. And yet He promised His Father that He would redeem a people so vast and numberless that nobody can number them. Now I do truly hope, that in previous centuries there must have been more believers than there are now. Because where the true gospel is preached, you don't have to drive far in any direction and see hundreds and hundreds of cars parked at this huge edifice, you know, and the preacher ain't got enough backbone to tell the truth if he knew it. I know. I've been there. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could go another 30 minutes, but I'll not punish you that badly.